Take your hymnal, please, and open up to number 467, number 467. Let's all stand to our feet. I feel like traveling on. Amen. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. With a word of prayer, please.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day and the blessings you give to us. And Lord, it does make us look forward to what's going to be next. Thank you so much. We ask for your blessing as we listen to the message tonight. May we hear it and understand it. It's meant for us too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, number 644, please. Number 644, Springs of Living Water. Springs of Living Water. It's been a little while since I've sung this song. And so sing it nice and loud for me, all right? All right.
I thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now.
you seated.
You know, it takes 900 gallons to make a Baptist, a couple inches to keep them out of church, you know. But I'm glad you're here. Appreciate you being here. Carly had her baby yesterday. John Avery is his name. All right, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 inches, so... And they got to go home this evening about 5 o'clock, so keep praying for them. They're doing well, baby doing good, you know. So I told Carly, I said, you got to be up and ready to go sing in the choir Sunday morning. Amen. I said, you know, if your mom can have a baby on Wednesday and play the piano on Sunday, you better get with it. No, really, she did that. Yeah, I mean, she's a man. But I'm glad y'all are here. Thank you for your prayers for her. I certainly appreciate that. If you're going to VBS, sign up, okay? Need you to put your name on there. Right now we've got about 18 that are riding the bus, and the dates are on there and all those things. So please be sure you sign up for that. Also, men, if you're going to whitewater rafting, you don't want to make sure you... start getting your money in. That's coming up, and it's April, but June will be here before you know it. So please pray with us about that. Also, I want to encourage you about our Friend Day coming up the 21st. That's just, a week from Sunday. So let's pray, work hard. We're going to have a good time out there. That's all I can tell you. Living Proof's going to be singing for us at 9:30 for Sunday school, and they do a good job. I've had some say they've been on their website listening, and they do a good job, so we're going to have a good time that day. Going to have lunch here at the church, so please invite folks, invite your neighbors, friends that are looking for a church home, and let's get everybody that we can to be here that Sunday. Pray for Brother Shelton. They're still out of town, and so keep him and Miss Rosalind in your prayers. We've got others out of town as well, so pray for them that everything goes well, all right? Church garage sale, April 26th, 27th. If you're going to help for that, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out here for helpers. There's the tables back here for donations, so please bring the things that you'd like to donate to go for the church garage sale. All the proceeds go towards the VBS trip to Grants as well. We're gonna start giving away backpacks again. All the kids, they love that stuff. We'll put school supplies in there for them and all kinds of things. So I want to encourage you. Let's start to, if you see some backpacks on sale, grab a couple of them, all right, and start bringing them. And I think last year we had about 80 kids that came, and it was a low year. The year before, I think we had 100 or a little better. So just a lot of kids, and they, you know, I like giving them stuff. So let's start working on that, if you would please, as well. All right, so don't forget about that. Ladies Bible study, the 16th. So don't forget about that, ladies, as well. All right, so please remember everything. Look at the cybersecurity class, by the way, there's a date. Brother Clark put the date on the bottom of that list. He was telling me about it Sunday afternoon, so I just had him write it on that list. We'll put it in the bulletin for Sunday, so if you signed up for that cybersecurity class, just go out there and look at that and write that date down, but we'll put it in the bulletin for you this coming Sunday, all right? So don't forget about that. Prayer sheets, anybody need one? You know, Brother Big Now, when the eclipse happened, it sounded just about that quiet. You know, I'm talking out at my house. It was about that quiet. The frogs were croaking, and the crickets were chirping. There was a rooster crowing. I mean, everything was all out of whack. But wasn't that the neatest thing you ever seen? Amen. I thought that was awesome. And, you know, only God can do something like that. I told my wife, we're standing out there during totality, and we're looking up at the moon in front of the sun, and I said, just think, honey. I said, It took billions and billions of years for that to happen. And it just happened by chance. Isn't that amazing? You know, so anyway, y'all know about that. So, but we thought it was neat. We watched it coming. But the thing that, and I was talking to Brother Marco about this afternoon, that the thing that was amazing to me was when it started going away, as soon as just a speck of the sun began to shine, it lit up just as bright as it was in midday. The temperature went up immediately. And Brother Marco and I was talking about, listen, isn't it the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ? Just a speck of him in your life will light your light up, or light your life up, listen, like nobody, and change you. Like, and it just, all it takes is just a little bit, amen? But it's the same thing for all of us. It takes the same amount to save someone that's a drug addict out in the that's homeless or out in the gutter somewhere as it does to save somebody that comes to church every Sunday that's lost. Same amount. And I'm thankful that we have a Savior like that. But I just thought it was a neat thing for the eclipse. Did everybody get to see it? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, no, I was driving. And then I thought, well, stop, you know, and look at it. So anyway, prayer sheets, let's go ahead and get into that, all right? So, and I'll stop about all the other. Pray for Brother Gary. He's having some, his eye operated on. He's having some blood drained out of his eye tomorrow. So please keep him in your prayers about that. I know he would certainly appreciate it. Along with all of the other health requests, there's many that are on here. Continue to pray for Brother Dennis and Miss Susie. Keep them in your prayers, please. I know that they would appreciate it. Also, continue to pray for Miss Daphne Fenwick, if you would, please. Keep her in your prayers. Just a lot of folks on here on our sick list. Pray for them. I know we took Carly off since the baby was born, but keep them in your prayers for the next few days, and the Lord would continue to help them stay healthy and everything go well. Also, I want to continue to pray for, again, for our missionaries. By the way, Brother Jacques Alexander, missionary to Haiti, will be with us the last Sunday of this month. And so, you know, and of course, if you've been watching anything on the news the last month, Haiti's been just about taken over by the gangs, you know, so it's right there where he's at. So please keep them in your prayers. He's been here in the States since all that's happened, so, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I was trying to get a hold of him today, and I was unable to do that, so, but pray for him as he's supposed to be here on the 28th, all right, on the last Sunday of this month. Seemed like there was somebody else I was supposed to. Y'all be very quiet. That I was supposed to tell you about. Y'all are awful quiet. Y'all all right? Okay, good. I just want to check on you. Man, there seemed like there was someone else that I'm supposed to.
You said that earlier today, but you couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. I've got a good memory, it's just not very long, all right? Anyway, we'll pray for our day Sunday. Lord, help us. Soul winning, Saturday morning, 9:30. Men, ladies, come. We're going to go, and we'll hand out some more flyers for our friend day coming up on the 21st. I want to encourage you, let's hand out some of them flyers. Pick some of those up tonight. Put some, walk your neighborhood, put them on the doors, and let's invite folks to come. Miss Megan put that on our website as well. So, I'd like to see us really pack this out. Even better than on a good Sunday, I'd like to see some new folks come so we could hand out a bunch of visitors cards and have some follow-up visits to do when that's over. So, please, you pray and help us with that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And pray for these again that are on our prayer list. And then if y'all think of what I can't remember after service, let me know, all right? Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness. And, Lord, I'm thankful that we serve an awesome God. Lord, just the other day during the eclipse, God, we saw just how almighty that you are, Lord, and Dad. And, God, what a glimpse of the power of God, Lord. And just as we watch the eclipse, and I'm thankful that we serve a God like that. And I'm thankful that God, a God who made everything from nothing, Lord, as we saw, God, that you are interested in man. I'm thankful for that. You're interested enough, Lord, where you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. And God, you loved us that much, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our people tonight, God, that are faithful and they come. And God, I pray for all of our folks that are here tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help me in just a little while as I preach the message, Lord, as we continue through the life of David. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me with that. I pray, God, that you'd, Lord, be with those that we've mentioned tonight, Brother Gary and his eye surgeries. He does that tomorrow. God, please, I pray that you'd, Lord, just be with him. God, I pray that the, Lord, that the pain will be just very minimal, Lord, when all that's over. Pray, God, that the results will be to the point where he could get his vision back good in his eye and it'll be clear. Pray, God, that you'd help him with that in a special way. Lord, I also think tonight of Brother Dennis and Miss Susie, Lord, and their health. I pray for them, God. I missed them Sunday as well as the Fenwicks, Lord. I pray for Miss Daphne and her health. I know she's dealing with some things as well. God, I pray for all of our folks, God, that are on the prayer sheet, Lord, tonight. God, I pray that you'd be with them. I want to thank you, Lord, for for Carly and baby John Avery, Lord, and their delivery, God, that you took care of them. And during the delivery, God, when a lady delivers a baby, you said they go down into the shadow of the valley of death, Lord, to do that. And God, yet you took care of them. And I'm thankful for that today. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with their recovery and just watch over them. And then, Lord, I pray, God, as well, that you'd be with Miss Jackson, Lord. I know that she's been dealing with some health issues in the last week or so. I pray, God, that you'd be with her. Lord, I pray, God, for Miss Brenda. Lord, just all of our folks that are on our health list tonight. And there's many others, Lord, here in the church that need help, God, with their health. I pray, God, that your hand of favor be upon them. Pray for, God, all of our folks that are traveling. God, we've got several families that have been out this last Sunday, and Lord, that will continue to be out this week, and I pray for them, God, that you'd please give them traveling graces, help them, Lord, to, Lord, relax and enjoy their time away, and Lord, be refreshed, Lord, when they come back, and they're here in this place, so God, be with them, and then, Lord, I pray, God, that you would be with our friend day. God, please help us, Lord, this next 10 days, God, that we would really put forth a 110% effort, God, in trying to reach out into this community, into our neighbors, to those that are unchurched, those that are lost, God, those that are perhaps that haven't been to church in a long time. I pray, God, that you would help us to reach them, Lord, by word of mouth, God, or by these flyers that we're putting on their doors, and that, God, that this place will be filled with people, God, on the 21st, bless Living Proof as they come to sing. And I pray, God, that you'd be glorified in everything that we do, that we'll see souls saved and folks added to this church. God, please, Lord, I pray that your hand of favor be upon us on that Sunday. God, I pray that you'd be with the Alexanders as they come the end of this month. Lord, I know that he's concerned about his orphanage and those folks that he's left behind there in Haiti. God, please be with them, Lord, and back in Haiti, and be with Brother Alexander and his wife as they're here. Pray, God, that you'd give them traveling graces, Lord, as well. And, Lord, we just thank you, God, for your goodness to us. I'm thankful, God, no matter what the circumstances might be, Lord, you're always good. And God, you always have our best interest at heart. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd help just give way to you and give way to your perfect will, God, in our lives tonight. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for our folks again that are here. Bless them, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd bless this offering. Pray that you'd bless the gift and the giver. Help us to be good stewards of it, Lord. And may you receive the glory and the honor for what's given. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have an offering, you please come.
take your hymnal now, if you would, please, and open up to 196. I don't know that we've sung this but maybe one time as a whole congregational, but it's a beautiful song. It's called Rejoice in the Lord. Number 196 is written by Ron Hamilton, who's now in heaven with the Lord. Amen. But it's a wonderful song.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When he's trying his servants and holding a man, give thanks to the Lord. Though your testing seems wrong, in darkness he giveth us all. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no
comes another oldie, number 368. He brought me out. He brought me out. I probably haven't sung this song in decades, but it's a good song. So I'm going to need your help, okay? Because it's been a little while since I sang it.
Oh,
a song to sing. All right. Thank you. Go greet everybody around you, and then you may be seated.
I know, right?
I got no takes.
All right. Brother Will. Well, y'all glad to be here. Say amen.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to go through quite a bit this evening, but we're just going to read the first four verses of chapter 2 and get us started, all right? Appreciate you again praying for my daughter. Everything went good. I don't know if I'm cut. You know, is there a point where even as a grandpa and your kids are still having children, does that get tough? No? I mean, it's all right when it's over, but, you know, kind of stressful, isn't it? But I just want you to know I made it, you know? All right. I'm just checking. 2 Samuel chapter 2, Patty Place, amen. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up in any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up. And I think that's interesting that his men are still with him. Amen. And that shows loyalty. But it also shows something on David's behalf that he's been good to his men. And I think that's important. But it says it, and they went up, and David's men went with him. And the men of Judah came there. They anointed David in verse 4. King over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And, of course, you know that Saul has passed away. So, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we now move into David as king. And Lord, we're going to see some things, Lord, tonight, God, that as he becomes king, Lord, we can still look back on his life, even before David was king, and see some principles that I think are important for us to adhere to, God, is in our life today. And it's just I think, awesome thing, Lord, to see a book written from the fingertips of God is just as relevant today as it's ever been, and I'm thankful for that. So, Lord, help us now as we continue in the life of David. Help me again to stay in the context of the Word of God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So anybody remember how long it's been? We talked about this last week. How long it's been since David was anointed that he's waited to become king? 15 years. Yeah, 15 years he's waited. But now in the mind of God, David was king already. Okay? But David had to wait. He waited while Saul pursued him. He waited as he hid in exile in all the caves. He waited as the leadership of Israel, talking about Saul as he slipped farther and farther away from God. And we talked about Saul's moving away from God. I mean, he went as far as to consult the witch of Endor, you know, and that's really getting away from God. But now, as we come to this place, Saul has died, and the waiting for David is over. He'd been through the test of adversity. Now, and think about this. He's been through the test of adversity. Yeah, and we've talked about everything that David's went through. But now, David is going to have to go through the test of prosperity. Sometimes we deal with the test of adversity a lot better than we deal with the test of prosperity. And we're going to see this in David here in just a little while. David's actions, and I want you to get this. Well, let me go back. What David would choose to do at the outset of his kingly reign when he gets started as king is going to set the tone for the rest of his life.
His actions will reveal his commitment. And by the way, our actions reveal our commitment. Our actions to the cause of Christ in this place reveal our commitment to God and how important he is to us. And so if the test of adversity reveals a man's faith, then the test of prosperity reveals a man's integrity. Integrity is nothing more than keeping a commitment after the circumstances have changed. Y'all follow me with that. And let me say it again. Integrity is nothing more than keeping a commitment after the circumstances have changed. And so here in 2 Samuel chapter 2 through chapter 5, it's going to show us how David has maintained his integrity. He offers a great example for you and me to follow in moments of victory. And so there's five principles I think that we can imitate the next time we enjoy some sort of triumph. You know, I was trying to talk to my grandson the other day, not John A., not the new one, but my oldest grandson, Oliver. He's not a very, you know, a lot of people aren't good losers. He's not either, and I'm not a good loser. However, we can lose gracefully. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. We don't have to throw a fit and get all mad and kick the dirt, you know, every time we lose. That's not right. My dad, I can still remember him. He coached Little League baseball and was a very good coach. And they were playing in a championship game one year, and they played a good game. They got beat, I think, by 2 runs. And some of his boys, they were crying and they were kicking the dirt. And I still remember Dad going over to them, telling them, "Boys, listen, you get your head up." He said, "Don't you do that. You boys played a good game. You just didn't win." And he said, "You go out there and you put your head up and you walk straight and you walk with a spring in your step and you tell them other boys that won, that they played a good game." And I thought, that's how you win or how you lose gracefully. And listen, and we're not going to win everything, and we don't have to like it. That's what I told my grandson. I said, "Listen, Oliver, when you lose, you don't have to like it, but you got to be a good sport about it." Come on, are y'all still here? Say amen. And so I think there's some things here that we can see how that the next time we enjoy a victory, you know, some people are worse winners than they are losers. Amen. And so we're going to see some things right here about David, about that number. And we looked at this last week. The first thing is that David refused to rejoice at Saul's demise, at his death. And we talked about this last week, how he refused to rejoice over Saul's death. We talked about how David even wrote a poem in honor of God's anointed. And listen, if God sees fit to bless us with victory, if God sees fit to bless us with a promotion, then we ought not criticize those whom we replace. Amen. We ought not do that. Instead of criticizing those that we replace, we ought to thank God for the opportunity he gives us. Amen. And that's exactly what David's doing. He refused to rejoice at Saul's demise. Number two, man, we're moving already. Look at that. It's only 7:33. We'll probably be through by 8:15. David's request, number two, David requested clear counsel from God. Now think about this. David, you would think that after waiting 15 years, David would have known exactly what he was going to do when he became king. 15 years he's waited. Y'all, and we talked about this. You remember Absalom, when he, years to the future, when he tries to usurp authority over his father David? Remember, he sat in the gate, and he would say things like, "You know what, I know my father's king, but I'm telling you, that's not the way I would have treated you. If I was king," he said, and you know, listen, and he tried to take his father's throne. Well, David, listen, he is in a position now that he has become king. And you would think that after 15 years of being on the run and hiding in caves and hiding out in the desert and the wilderness, all these things, that he would have had some kind of a journal where he would have had, okay, when I become king, number one, he would have had it all planned out. You would think, right? I mean, we do things like that when we, about our, you know, about goals, about plans. It's okay to have those, but listen, but we need to make sure that we consult God about what's about to take place. And we're going to get into that. Now, think about it. If this would have been you or I, maybe we might have even said something like, you know what? It's about time. Saul's finally died, and man, I have been waiting on this for years. It's time for me to shine. It's time for me to be in my place. We've seen people that have come into positions or promotions, and that's exactly the way they act, but not so with David. David, when he heard of Saul's death, if you look in chapter 2 and verse 1, he didn't rush to Jerusalem and take his place on the throne. He didn't do that. But if you look there, it says, and it came to pass after this, after what? After David mourned, after David honored Saul and Jonathan in their death, after this, that David, look at the next words, inquired of the Lord. Listen, circumstances show David that it was his time, but David was unwilling still to take a step without first seeking God's direction. Look in Proverbs. Let me show you something else. And this is something that we're all familiar with. We quote this all the time. Proverbs chapter 3. You're going to know it as soon as you get there. Proverbs chapter 3. And look in verse 5 and 6. If you know it, say amen. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. But watch, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We quote that often, but listen, but they, even though they were written thousands of years ago, listen, they are still as important today as they were then. And these two verses describe a life, watch, of total dependence and commitment to God. The object of the wise person, is to trust in God. God is a covenant-keeping and a promise-keeping God who cannot lie. Amen. He's incapable of it. He can't even think about it. I've had people say, yeah, but preacher, what if? There is no such thing as a what if when it comes to God in lying or thinking there's something wrong. God can't even think that way. It's impossible for him. Listen, the object of a wise person's trust is God himself. And listen, folks, listen to this. Trust does not come from the head. It comes from the heart. Amen. Yeah, it doesn't come from here. Trust is not the result of reasoning, watch, but it's the result of believing. And if you look over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, I want you to turn there. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, let me say it again. Trust doesn't come from the head. It comes from the heart. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, while you're turning there, I want you to see it. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But now, wait a minute. Did Abraham always believe God? Absolutely not. When Abraham leaned on his own understanding, listen, what happened? He failed. And he failed miserably. Of course, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and read, and you can write this down, read it later, verses 10 through 20. According to Abraham's own understanding, God could not provide him in a famine. Couldn't provide for him in the famine in Genesis chapter 12. In fact, according to Abraham's understanding, God could not give him a son when him and Sarah were past natural age of childbearing. What did he do? He went and got Hagar. Yeah, amen. So Abraham's lack of trust, the result of leaning on his own understanding, still has major implications 4,000 years to the future. Think about it. Let me read this again. Trust, watch, is an all or nothing proposal. All or nothing. Okay, Malachi, come here. I've been thinking about this all day. Come right over here. Now trust. Lean not unto your own understanding. It's what God says. And if you're going to trust God, you're either going to trust him or you're not. Right? Amen. And God says either lean on me or lean on you. You know, when we trust ourselves. Okay, stand right here. If I'm going to lean on God, then I'm going to go, I'm putting all my trust. So if he moves, I'm falling. Right? But most times we go, oh, look, I'm leaning on him. I'm leaning on God. No, you're not. You're leaning on yourself. Remember, trust is all or nothing. Are you still with me? Say amen. I'm not going to do this because I trust him, but I don't trust him. He's not God. But, I mean, I've seen a commercial on TV where all these people, they're going, oh, yeah, this is so fun, and they just fall backwards. You seen the commercial on TV, and then this one person gets up here, and I think it's a fast food commercial. And they go, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And they fall back, and somebody walks in with Burger King or something. They go, oh, look at here. And all of a sudden, this one, I think it's a girl, she falls back and falls flat on her head. Listen, I want you to understand something. God's not going to do us that way. We're either going to fall on him and lean on him, or we are not. Come on, are y'all still here? Look what they, thank you, Malachi. Look what it says, Proverbs. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In most of your ways acknowledge him. Now, that's not what it says. Watch, trust is an all or nothing proposal. Partial trust is no trust at all. Either we're leaning on him or we're not. Most times we say, yeah, I trust God. You know, I'm doing my best. I'm trusting him in my finances. And we've got a leg or an arm of the flesh stuck over here somewhere, you know. And we're not. We're either trusting God or we're not. Come on, are we still here? We either trust God with our time or we do not. We can use that in every scenario that we can think of. Either God, trust in God is an all or nothing proposition. And trust does not come from our head. It comes from the heart. You know, I was thinking about this as well. I thought, you know, I trust my wife implicitly to the nth degree. I trust her. I trust her with everything. I trust her with our money. I trust her with my kids. I trust her with, listen, I just trust her with everything. It's an all or nothing proposition. Yeah. When I got married, I said, I do. And you know what? I am. Yeah. Amen. It's the same thing with God. You know, we either trust him or we don't. Well, David, watch this. I want you to see this. Again, let me read it. To lean on something means to support yourself on something or to rely on something. And it's the same thing that I do. I put my trust in him. He could have stepped away if he wanted to, but he didn't. I'm glad. I'd have fell. I could have broke a hip. Amen? But listen, but he didn't do that. Well, you know what? When we lean on God, God's not going to move. If he told us to lean on him and trust him, listen, God is telling us not to depend on our own understanding, but to make a choice. We either got to choose him or we got to choose us. It's an all or nothing proposition. And listen, folks, I'm telling you, I'm here to let you know that we can trust God with everything completely and fully. Amen. So David sought counsel from God. Number three, David received a fresh anointing from God. Look in verse 4. The next step for David was for him to be crowned king. And it says, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. If you go back there, you notice that he asked God, he said, should I go up? And God told him, yes, you go up. Listen, he said, he asked, should I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So God gives him direction. Same thing that God will do for you. He will show us. And by the way, you know, it's amazing how you talk to your grandkids. They're pretty sharp. Eleanor, she is sharp beyond her age. And I was talking to her, and we were talking about the baby. And I said, well, did you talk to Jesus about him? And she said, well, Jesus can't hear me. And I said, yes, he can. She said, I forgot how she responded. He does, you know, he does. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, she said, well, how can I hear him? And I said, you got to be real still and you got to be real quiet. Because I said, the Bible says that he has a still, small voice. And we were driving and, you know, and then I stopped and I looked and Miss White, she's just sitting there grinning and Eleanor is not saying a word. And I'm thinking, I think she got it. And you know what, folks, listen, we have a hard time being still and being quiet. You know why? Because if we be still and be quiet and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God starts talking to us, he might tell us something that we might need to get right. So we want to stay busy. We want to keep our thoughts going. And we've got to be careful. But God will lead us and help us. But he always does it through his word. So here's David. He goes up to Judah and he, to be anointed king. Now watch this. David is anointed king three different times already. He was first anointed, by the prophet Samuel when he was 15 years old. He was anointed a second time by the men of Judah when he moved to Hebron. And finally, he's anointed a third time by all the people of Israel. And folks, when God gives us a new assignment, gives us something new to do, it's always good to seek God's direction and seek a fresh anointing every time he does it. And when I got to thinking about this, I thought, listen, teachers ought to seek God's anointing before they ever teach a lesson. Are y'all still here? Say amen. Listen, I don't care if they do it every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. A teacher ought to pray and seek God's anointing and God's help and his wisdom every time they stand up and teach. Before anybody ever stands up here and sings a song in a worship service, they ought to seek God's anointing and a help. Why? It is a new assignment. And they're standing up and they are singing praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they need an anointing from the Holy Spirit of God in order to do that, that God might use what they're doing to help people that are sitting in the pew. And I could go through this whole thing, but listen, I want you to understand, a pastor ought to seek God's anointing before every message. Before he ever stands up here in this place, no matter who it is, he needs to be on his knees and on his face before God and say, God, I need your help, I need your wisdom, and I need your anointing that I will stay out of your way and that you'll use me and speak through me. And we can all say, amen. If we're going to stand before people and share the word of God, then we need God's anointing in order to do it. In fact, the anointing of an Old Testament leader was a symbol out of the pouring of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. If you remember when Samuel anointed David, what'd he do? He poured oil on him. Oil in the Old Testament is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God, and so that we can see again that he is anointed for service. And Christians today are anointed the same way through the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to just go through the motions. The Bible says that we become a sounding of brass and tinkling of cymbal. If we just want to go through the motions every Sunday, I don't want to do that. I want to feel the presence and the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in everything that we do. Amen. Why? It's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference, not the person that stands up here. Amen. So David, he understands this, and he goes, and he's being anointed as king a third time. And let me say, wise is the individual who, when ready to take on an expanded role, they recognize their need of the Holy Spirit of God. No matter what we do, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's over there or over here, or standing in this place, or they're singing a song or teaching a Sunday school class, listen, we need to understand the importance here in this place of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. So David did that. He received a fresh anointing from God. Number four, David repaid the debts that he owed Saul. Now watch, when Saul's killed, if you remember, the Philistines, they found him and Jonathan both, they cut his head off, they cut his son's heads off, and they hung him on the wall of Bashan for everybody to see him. And the Philistine people, they made sport of Israel's fallen leaders. Listen, and something that we've got to be careful, myself included, it doesn't matter who the preacher is. I may not agree with what they preach, but the world today, listen, when somebody, and I've seen it in the past, it's happened when so-called big preachers, when they fall and they succumb to the temptations of this world, I'm telling you, the world makes sport of them. And we ought not ever do that. What a sad and tragic thing is for a man of God, no matter what where they stand, listen, to fall and succumb, because the world will always link them with everybody else that stands in this place. Oh, you preachers, y'all are all alike. Yeah. What I want to know is, why do we never say that about doctors and stuff? Oh, you doctors, y'all are all alike. Y'all are all quacks. Why don't we do that? I mean, we put other things in that same category. Well, notice here's David. Here's Saul. They capture him. They cut their heads off. They take them to Bashan and they hang them on a wall. And as a result, the men of Jabesh Gilead, I mean, they are fired up. They're angry. So these men, they go down to Bashan, and they took down the bodies and they bring them back to Israel. And these Jewish men, they didn't want the Philistines to get them, or the enemies of God to get them back and make fun of their anointed leaders. So they took their bodies and they burned them and then they buried them, because they didn't want anybody else to be able to do what these men did. Now I want you to understand something that's going on here. David, well, let me look in 2 Samuel chapter, look in chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. They burned the bodies, buried them. But I think today that a lot of people have been emboldened by the spirit of pride, and they, well, let me read these two verses, verses 5 through 7, chapter 2. It says, and David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead. So they've come back. He sends messengers to them and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, talking about Saul, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed the king over them. Now watch, David wanted to reward these men, and so David took care of the things left undone by Saul. But I feel like today that people don't have the respect of leadership today like they did then. They may not agree with them, but listen, one thing that I've learned over the last 15, 20 years is that oftentimes, because you're a preacher, people think that they can say whatever they want to you, and you're supposed to just take it. Why? Because you're the preacher. And the minute you stand up and say, no, we're not going to have that, you know what? They say, well, that's not very Christian. Y'all follow me. You know why? Because there's no respect for leadership. I'm telling you, we've come to a day where people don't respect this office like they used to. Yeah. But David respected Saul. And when those men went down there and got his body, or got their heads and their bodies and brought them back, David, he's come and he wants to reward them for what they've done. And David is going to try to take care of some things that have been left undone by Saul. Now I want you to see something else. Look in verse 15 and 16. David relied on God to establish his kingdom. When David became king, there's some internal problems. There's an internal opposition. And a few people believe Saul's remaining sons ought to be the next king. So these schisms, if you will, are factions. They developed in Israel. And if you look there in verse 15 and 16 of chapter 2, notice what it says. It says, then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore the place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of Saul. Now, what's going on here is Abner, who is a friend of Saul's, he came into, he's having a hard time with Joab, who is a friend of David's. And so these two guys get together by the pool of Gibeon, and they're going to iron out their differences. So what they've done, they decide that I'm going to get 12 representatives from this group, and I'm going to get 12 representatives from these guys over here. And it'd be like me and, like I'm David's clan, and this is Saul's clan, and me and Malachi, we say, okay, we need 12 of you guys on David's side and 12 of you guys on Saul's side. Y'all are going to come over here, and y'all are going to fight to the death. And the one that win will determine who's going to be king. So me and Malachi, we're just going to come over here and sit down and go, okay, y'all are going to fight to the death, and then whoever wins, that's who's going to be king. Y'all go ahead. That's crazy. Listen, I'm not going to fight to the death for somebody over here. You follow me? Listen, and they say, y'all are going to fight. Well, listen, as a result of what's going on here, if you read those verses again, you'll find out that all 24 of them died on the spot. All of them. Listen, the fight, and not only that, but it led to a civil war, and the followers of Saul's family, and if you keep reading, they were no match for David's family. Now, look in chapter 3 and verse 1. It'll show you the answer. Turn the page there. It says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. A civil war broke out. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Do you know why David's family and David's side began to wax stronger and Saul's side begins to wax weaker? Because David was God's anointed. God's hand was on David, not on Saul. God's hand was taking us off. But there was a faction that said, listen, we're not going to follow him. So we're just going to have our own war. Listen, God is always going to win out, always. And so even after David was anointed king, watch as we do not find him where he is aggressively trying to wipe out the competition. He's not going to do that. And the Bible tells us that David waited for the moments of confrontation to come to him. And God, when God would bring them to him, God showed him what he had to do in order to overcome the conflict. Which lets me know, listen, we got to learn to let God handle our problems today. Don't worry about tomorrow's problem. Jesus could come back before tomorrow and we won't have to worry about him ever again. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day will bring forth. So when we're facing things today, let's just face them today, wait on God, and let God take care of them just like he did then for David. Amen. Learning to wait, though, it's a hard thing. We stopped this morning to get Eleanor something for breakfast. And it's the same, and it's the thing, you know, sometimes I think God has a sense of humor because you can say things and say things and then all of a sudden it happens to you. We were at Wendy's and we were getting her something to eat and not a car. I mean, it's Wendy's. Nobody's there. There's not even anybody inside. And we ordered them and the lady said, okay, it's cooking. Can you pull right up there? And I told my wife, I said, there is nobody here. And so you know what I did? I pulled up. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, this is what you've been preaching and talking about. You know, just learn to wait. Everything's going to be fine. And man, and of course they did. They brought it out. And it was hot and it was good. And you know, but you know, the hardest thing in the world for anybody to do is to wait. We sang that song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. So I've learned. Listen, it's a hard lesson. But listen, I've learned to wait on God. And I've also learned that God's timing is impeccable. It's just amazing that if we learn to wait, and wait, and then when God says, okay, you can do it, when it's all done and we look back and then we see the benefit of waiting on God, it is amazing. But we've just got to learn to wait. Look at the last thing. David remembered the promise that he made. He kept his word to Saul. A great story, and you know all this, and I've got to stop. But it would have been easy, I think, for David when he became king to really forget his promise or even neglect the promise or neglect those who helped him throughout the years. But part of integrity is keeping your commitments even after the circumstances have changed under which you have made that commitment. Sometimes we make promises and we make commitments when circumstances aren't so good. When circumstances are good. I watch this all the time, and I've told you, every once in a while I'll watch Judge Judy. And she'll be having the plaintiff and the defendant. And she'll ask them, why didn't you pay? You've got a contract. It's right here. They've got it written out. It's signed by them and all this. And then they'll say, well, I made this commitment. She'll say, well, why didn't you keep your commitment? And they will say, it's almost inevitable. Well, I fell on some hard times. Or I'm not working as many hours. Or I had to move in with so-and-so. And she said, that does not change the commitment you made here on this piece of paper. You still made the commitment. Circumstances have changed, but the commitment did not. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. The commitment is still there. Well, listen, David, his circumstances have changed. They've gotten better for him. He's king. He made all these commitments in the past. Listen, Jonathan even asked him, listen, please, you take care of my family. Don't. You have to make a vow to be good to the descendants of Saul. Listen, now he's king. And everybody he made those commitments to are dead. All he had to do was say, you know, it's all good. They'll never know. Yeah, but he knew. And that's part of having integrity. He remembered the promise. And Jonathan, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, if you remember, Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. Y'all remember him? When all this began to take place, they got scared, and the nurse that was taking care of him, she took off running, thinking it's all going to be bad. And when she took off, the Bible says that he fell, and as a result of his injury, listen, he was lame on his feet. Yep. And David could have looked at him and said, you know, Mephibosheth could have been, he's a danger to me, a danger to my throne. And back in those days, they killed all of them, just like a lion. If you ever think of a lion, when he takes over a lion's pride, he kills all of the baby lions so that he can start a new a clan, if you will, from his own. He'll kill all the young ones. Well, same thing here. David could have went and killed everybody that was a threat to the throne, but he didn't do that. He promised that he would take care of Mephibosheth. Look in chapter 9 and verse 1. Let me get over chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, and David said, here's his promise, is there yet any left, or is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? You know why he's doing that? Because he made a promise. Even though the circumstances have changed, he still kept his promise. And we're told in 2 Samuel 9, if you look down in verse 7 and verse 13, that David sent for Mephibosheth and said, listen, he'll eat from the king's table the rest of his life. I'll take care of him. David had made a promise, and even though the man that he made it to was dead, he kept his promise. Our culture today puts emphasis on winning at all cost. All cost. But God calls us as Christians, listen, to stand apart from the things and the people of this world, that we ought to show forth some godly character, some integrity. And the early days of David's reign remind us that God alone is responsible for our promotions and where we are in life. Look in 2 Samuel, looking back in chapter 5 and verse 2. Says, and also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Listen, I want you to understand, David knew that he had not become king due to his own abilities. We are so quick to say, I got to where I'm at by my own strength, by the sweat of my... No, you didn't. We got to where we are because God allowed it. Amen. I mean, listen, I've had people ask me over the years when it comes to ministry, they say, you know, Pastor, if I don't know if I can do ministry. I don't know how. And this is the way I've told them. I tried to write it down the best I could. After a lifetime of being around the ministry and almost 40 years of full-time ministry, I still don't know how. I don't have a clue. You say, well, how do you do it? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Yeah. You know, I do my best not to lean on my own understanding because I can't do it. I'll be the first one to say, people always say, well, preacher, it's your way or no way. No. Listen, remember I told you a while ago before a decision's ever made. Listen, not only myself, but those that are around me, we spend time along with God seeking God's face and His direction. Why? Because I can't do it on my own. Listen, I always seek counsel. I always seek God's wisdom and His ways before we do anything here at Central Park Baptist Church. Because I know I am completely inadequate. That's foreign to some folks. But I'm telling you, that's the only way I know. I learned a long time ago from a good godly dad that I watched for years. Listen, spent hours on his face before God. Seeking God's face. Did it change people? No. But it changed him. And listen, I'm telling you, if we do the same thing when it comes time to make decisions for God, it'll change all of us. And we'll learn how to seek God's face no matter what we do. And God will always, always, always give us direction. David is a good example of seeking God's face. Even when things change for the better, listen, God help us to still seek His face. Always. Can I tell you, listen, folks, no matter what you're going through, if everything is good, I mean, if you are on a greased plank to heaven, you better still stay on your face before God and still ask Him, Lord, man, it's a good thing, Lord, that things are going great. Thank you, Lord. Please still show me what I need to do tomorrow. When I wake up in the morning, if I wake up on this side of the dirt, show me what you'd have me to do. Remember, trust is all or nothing. And it comes from the heart and not the head. We got a God that we can trust, and all God's people can say, Father, help us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to lean on you. David certainly is showing us that. And these principles, God, that we've looked at tonight, God, show us that we do have a God that we can lean on, and I'm thankful for that. So, Lord, please help us. God, to lean on you in all our ways. God, everything, no matter how small or insignificant we might think, God, please help us. God, to lean on you completely and wholly. God, it's either all or nothing. And so, Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you're a God that says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And it's simply because we lean and trust on you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Give this invitation for just a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, speaking to your heart while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I encourage you to come.